السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. والتنس سنريس إشراق والتنس إشراق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I think every one of us, we may have experienced or witnessed a situation where somebody was not well. We ourselves may have experienced a situation when we were not well, or we had somebody in our family or somebody who had taken ill, and the person got very sick, you know, very weak, etc. And sometimes it happens also that the person has to be hospitalized. So when a person is in that type of a situation, then some medications, etc., are administered, and once the person starts getting his strength back, starts recovering, then he is told that he must eat certain foods, he must stay away from certain foods, and he must take certain medication. And some medications the doctors tell him that, see, but make sure you complete the course also. Even if you are feeling better, but you must complete the course. And some illnesses, some sicknesses, they call them chronic. This is chronic illness. So you have to carry on taking this medication your whole life. So if that patient doesn't follow those instructions, if as soon as that person comes out of hospital, he or she starts eating the foods that the doctor has asked them to stay away from, and doesn't take the medication, etc., then 9 out of 10, that body starts getting weak again, and sometime it can be fatal, or the person has to be hospitalized again, etc. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a physical body, and then Allah ta'ala has given us a ruh. In actual fact, the ruh is actually who we are. It's not the physical body. The physical body is not us. Before we came into the dunya, we were in a world that was called Alame Arwah, the world of the souls. So in the world of the souls, we didn't have this body. This body was not with us. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to the dunya. And in fact, at the time when our mothers conceived, at that time too, we were not in the dunya. It's only after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel with the ruh. Initially, when a woman conceives, there's no life. It's just a drop of semen, a drop of blood. And then slowly that drop now becomes a piece of flesh, etc. And then it starts forming. It's only after that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel to come and blow a life into there. So that life is who we are, that ruh. And then we are born, Allah Ta'ala gives us a body which is conducive for this world. So this body then grows, doesn't stay the same also, it grows. And eventually we become who we are physically. But that ruh is still the same, that ruh inside is still the same. After that we pass away. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Daon Barakatuhu, he gave a very beautiful example once. He asked in the program, he said, can all of you see me? Everybody said, yeah, no, we can see you. So he said, whoever can see me, raise your hand. So everybody raised their hand, said, no, we can see you. So he said, no, none of you can see me. And then he explained, he said, see, if while I'm sitting here, the angel of death has to come and extract my soul. So my body will fall down. As soon as that happens, you now refer to me as the lash. You now refer to me as the body. Nobody calls me by my name anymore. Somebody passes away. I said, but did the hearse fetch the body? Did they fetch the body? Has the body arrived? We don't say, has Janab Muhtaram so and so came. We don't take the person's name anymore. You refer to it as the body. So he asked, he said, my glasses are still on. My clothing is still on. It's still the same body, everything. But you now refer to me as the lash. Why? Because the ruh has come out. The soul has come out. So that soul is who we are. The soul, after we have passed away, they've given us ghusl, kafan, etc. At that time when they're giving us ghusl and all of that, our soul is gone to Allah Ta'ala. After that, the soul comes and settles between the body and the kafan. Right? Then that body is buried. After some time, for most people, illa mashallah, you get the shuhada, etc. But most people, you open up the qabr, there's nothing there. That body has disintegrated, decomposed, it's eaten up by the insects and the maggots and all the different worms, etc. in the qabr. Then comes the day of Qiyamah. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala causes that body to grow again. Comes in the ahadith that the insan's whole body disintegrates, you know, decomposes. But there is one small little bone at the base of his spine. Allah Ta'ala preserves that. Like a seed, if you want to call it. Allah Ta'ala preserves it. And then when the trumpet is blown, the first trumpet is blown, every living thing will die. Second time Allah Ta'ala will instruct for the trumpet to be blown, then insan will grow from there. So it shows that the second time when he's standing up, he's not standing up with the same body. It's another body that's going to grow. And that body is conducive for Qiyamah Day. It's conducive for the day of Qiyamah. Then judgment will take place. Judgment will take place. And after judgment, then either the person is going to go to Jannah, Allah Ta'ala make us from those, or a person is going to go to Jahannam, Allahumma hafazna min, Allah protect us. So when a person is going to go to Jannat, he's not going to go to Jannat with this body. Allah Ta'ala is going to give him a body that is conducive for Jannat. He can't go with this size of a body to Jannat. A person the smallest Jannat is 10 times the size of this world. A person who is going to have hundreds of hoors there in Jannat, a person who is going to have all the different delicacies, different types of foods, right? And he must not get diabetes. He must be able to eat all the types of foods and he mustn't get diabetes. He must be able to eat whatever foods, he mustn't get high blood pressure. He mustn't get cholesterol. This body won't manage. This body, little bit you go extra with the sugar, you got diabetes. Little bit extra with the salt, the pressure is shooting somewhere. Couple extra chops, the person, cholesterol is gone somewhere else. So this body is it can't make it in Jannat. So the body Allah Ta'ala is going to give in Jannat, it doesn't get a cold. That body doesn't have to go to toilet. That body doesn't get jealous. There's no jealousy. There's no, absolutely nothing. That body is very, very different. It's a jannati body. But what will be in that body is the same ruh that we got. So in actual fact, we are that ruh. We are not this body. This body is just a conveyance to take us through this journey of this world. Once we've gone through the journey of this world, this body is history. This body is history. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into the dunya to work on that ruh. Our efforts is supposed to be on that ruh. But we have turned our whole focus on the body. How many times we look into the mirror to check whether I'm presentable? How many times a day we look into the mirror to see if I am presentable, you know? And that's, I'm not saying it's not a good thing. Everybody must be presentable also, to be neat, to be tidy. That's part of our deen. But the amount of times we look into the mirror to see if I'm presentable, do I even sit one time in the day and ask myself that this ruh of mine, is it presentable to Allah Ta'ala? Because when I'm going to pass away, this ruh of mine is going to be taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as we pass away, the ruh will be taken to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when are we going to pass away? We don't know. We don't know. One day, we were having a program in Johannesburg area. I think the place is called Robertsham. That area is called Robertsham. It was a similar type of a program, like an overnight kind of a program at the Darul Uloom of Hazrat Maulana Hassan Dokrat Sahib, Naam Barakatuhu, our Ustad. So while we are having the program, one person had come for the program. He was sitting there, and all of a sudden, in the program, he just collapsed. Collapsed and he passed away. He collapsed. We were still wondering now what happened. He collapsed. Next thing, the paramedics came, whatever they call the doctor and all this. He's gone. So we don't even have a guarantee that we're going to get back home. Forget tomorrow opening shop and we're planning. Allah Ta'ala mentions from among, you know, yesterday we spoke about few of those verses from the Torah. So Allah Ta'ala says, the one of those verses, Allah Ta'ala says that, oh man, you are asking some, to the effect, I'm just giving you the mafhum of it, that you are asking and you are expecting your rizq for the future. You want it now. You're already, you know, planning grandchildren and what they must eat and what I'm going to do next year, and this investment is going to mature that time and all that. You are asking for your rozi, which is in the future. But I didn't ask you for ibadat, which is due in the future. I didn't ask you for that ibadat. For you to worship me, that's your obligation. For me to provide for you, that's my obligation. Allah Ta'ala mentions that in that verse. That to provide for you is my obligation. For you to worship me, that is your obligation. Now with regards to my obligation, you want me to fulfill years in advance. Sometime 10 years in advance, we're planning so much in. But with regards to your obligation on me, I'm not asking you to do what's due in the future. I'm only asking you to do what's due now. So with regards to this jism of ours, this body of ours, there is so much of, you know, effort from top to toe, you know, from the hair to the toe. Imagine, recently somebody was telling me, he said, no, Maulana, there's a treatment in Turkey, you know. The treatment in Turkey, it costs $1,000, you know. Not Zimbabwe dollars, US dollars, $1,000. I said, what's this treatment for? He said, no, if you're going bald, you know, if you're going bald, so you can go there to Turkey, they got some treatment, $1,000, so they'll, you undergo some sort of a treatment, I don't know for how long, and then they bandage your head up. And you mustn't open that bandage for I don't know how long. After that, when you open your bandage, then you see now the hair is growing. So I'm thinking to myself, first, you must travel from here to Turkey. That in itself is a cost. Number two, you must spend $1,000. Number three, you have to go into that clinic. Then they're going to poke your head and do this and do that. Then you must bandage your head for 1 week or whatever the duration is. You can't wash your head. And all just to get hair to grow again. Just to get hair to grow again. Right? And hair, what can we do with hair? Can you lift up something? Can you put something down? I mean, it's a great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. It makes a person look good. Right? But more than that, what can you do? But just for that hair, so much of effort we are prepared to make. That's for the person who lost it, you know. He's bald, lost it. And the person who got it, his effort too doesn't end. His effort too doesn't end. He may buy one shampoo. See, today, men's cosmetic list too is gone like ladies. Before a man, he puts that green bar sunlight on his head to his spine, you know. He carried on. Today a man also, he got his certain type of a shampoo, certain type of a conditioner, certain type of, they're conning us with all these conditioners, man. And so many different things he got to put on his hair. From there we start coming down. How much of money is spent, how much of effort is made. Clothing must be like this, shoe must be like that, I only wear like this, only wear like that. For the outer body. And that body is for the worms. As I said, illa mashallah, those that pass away, shaheed, maut, etc. is different, right? The Anbiya alayhimus salam, their bodies are haram upon the earth. The earth can't eat their bodies, right? But people like me and you, only Allah make our hifazat, right? All what we're doing, we're putting cream on this body and looking after this body is for who? Is for the worms. And that which we have to present to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sent us in the dunya to beautify that. How much of effort am I making on that? Right? So, that ruh of ours, just as this physical body, it needs nourishment. Right? This ruh also requires nourishment. The physical body, its nourishment is in food, different things. And the ruh, its nourishment is in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Right? The adornment of this physical body is in creams and, you know, itars and what you call surma and all of that. It will beautify the physical body. The ruh, this will be beautified with the akhlaq of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what will beautify it. See how to get our priority right. One Jamaat was traveling in India and they left very early in the morning. They had to take one train. They're supposed to catch another train, but there was some delay. So they were stranded on the station for a while until another train came. And eventually they caught that train. So they were supposed to reach their destination by late afternoon. They ended up only reaching there around midnight. So that masjid now, the zimedars who were to receive this jamaat, They were waiting for them because they knew that these people left home early in the morning. They haven't eaten anything. It's not like South Africa, you know. Not like South Africa or one of the other countries. I always say that, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to give people da'wat to deen, he was stoned, you know. He was stoned, he was chased away. Sahaba radiyallahu ta'anum, when they went, how they starved. When they went out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, sometime they are just sucking on one date pit, not even a date. A date pit. They're sucking on that. Sometime they are eating the leaves of trees. Sahaba radiallahu ta'anum, they explained themselves. If you read up in the hadith, you will find this. They said that we used to survive on the leaves of the trees to such an extent that when we used to go out, then our stool also became like the droppings of the goats and the buck. Because we were eating their food. So our stool also became like that. So they went like that, you know. Today when we make one suffer, imagine now, yesterday we were coming, I had no intention of being here by lunchtime, but already lunch was prepared. But there was no intention to be here for lunch, without me even knowing lunch was prepared. So the person who prepared lunch is telling me, now you missed out lunch, you have to make qaza now. Tomorrow breakfast, if you can't make it for breakfast, then you have to stay till lunch or supper or something. So when we go, we can't even say we're going out in the path of Allah. It's just like we, you know, imitating those who go out in the path of Allah. And so much of intizam is made for us. People want to feed us more than what we can eat. And Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, when they went, what was their situation? So we must never think we're serving deen, you know. It's just Allah Ta'ala's ihsan upon us. Allah's ihsan upon us. Otherwise, we got it so soft. We got it so easy. So here, coming back to that example, so this Jamaat, now they reached very late, and those people who were waiting to receive them, they knew that these people, now they couldn't have eaten anything, etc. So as soon as they reached, they told them that, see, must we warm the food? The food is ready. Or do you all want to read your Isha Salah, you know? So few people in the Jamaat, they mentioned that, you know what, let's read our Isha quickly. Let's read our Isha quickly, then we know we farid, you know. And we also say the same thing. So let's read our Isha quickly, then we farid, then we can eat nicely, you know. We're hungry also. The Amir Sahib of the Jamaat, he said, no, let us eat quickly. He said, let us eat quickly so that we can read our Isha properly. We are all hungry. If you're going to go to read Isha now, you're going to slapdash Isha. So let's eat. So you know we've eaten now. The body is satiated. Now let's go and read Isha properly. See the difference in the mindset. So for example, you apply this now in everything. I'm going to work. Right? I'm going to work. Why? So that I can take care of this, my expenses, my dunyavi needs, in order for me to be able to serve the deen of Allah. I'm getting married. Why? I've got shahwat, I've got desire, I'm getting married. This desire will get fulfilled. Plus there is a whole, you know, window of my deen that I can only make amal upon if I got a wife. And then through this nikah, I'm going to increase the ummah of Huzur-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Now that is a very different mindset from a person who now know I'm looking for love. I'm looking for love. A Muslim, when he is getting married, how come a Muslim man can have so much of sabr? He can maintain his marriage, he can look after his wife, despite all odds. is because he is getting married for Allah Ta'ala. He's got a mission in his mind. It's not a love affair to him. Unfortunately, the kuffar have made us think that love is about, you know, marriage is about love. Love for who? Love for the wife. And the wife's love for the husband. Right? So now a man gets married, not of our young friends, this is sabak for them, you know. They get married. Now after 2 months, did I make the right choice, man? You know. So I'm not getting that electrifying feelings and all that. I was watching the movie, that fellow saw that lady, he went away in another mode. The lady went away in another mode. All that is not happening, man. I'm not seeing some stars and some shivers going down my spine and everything. Did I make the right choice? That all is lies they're telling you. That all what they're telling you is lies. That don't happen. Marriage is not about that. Marriage itself is an ibadat. Yes, there will be love, but it's a very funny kind of a love. Love in marriage, because it's based on emotions, is not based on akal mandi. So it's a very funny kind of a love. One day that love is so much, the husband and wife, they don't want to be separate, you know. He wants to hold his wife's hand. Even when he's supposed to be handling the gears of the car, he wants to hold his wife's hand. He said, buy automatic, man. That day he wants to buy automatic. And another day, he don't want to see her, she don't want to see him. She don't want to talk to him, he don't want to talk to her. They're so angry with one another. And then give it another 1 hour, 2 hours again. So he said, it's like a seesaw ride, you know. The topsy-turvy story. But the thing that maintains the marriage is the love for Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point is that now this person, he got married, why? To enhance his deen. Everything in his life is to enhance his deen. All the time his focus is on his ruha. Right? So, in order to maintain that focus on the ruh and to keep the ruh healthy, there are certain things that are absolutely necessary, and there are other things which assist. You know, like to eat food now, a person, you know, is hungry, for him to eat food, that is an absolute necessity. Otherwise, he's going to get even weaker and he won't be able to carry out his tasks, right? But with that food, if the food is delicious, the food is delicious. One is no use starving, whatever food come there by, you know, you can eat it. But on top of it, if the food is delicious, now that meal becomes enjoyable. On top of it, if there is some chutney to go with it, some achar to go with it, some sweet dish came first, the South Africans make amal on both the sunnats. The jardo will come first and the ice cream will come later. So sunnat, the sweet before, sweet after, everything is sorted out, you know. So, those things are all the extras. Now some juice, some cold drink, whatever, those things are all extras. And then if a person is having now some salads or is having some vitamins, all that is going to assist his body even more. Right? Now like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us 5-time namaz. The 5-time namaz is a basic necessity for the ruh. Without 5-time namaz, that ruh is already weak. If a person is not eating food and he's taking vitamins, he's not eating food, but he's having vitamins, is the vitamins going to help him? Don't help him. He has to eat food. Then he'll take his medication. Now that medication can do its work. So sometimes the person is not reading namaz, but he's putting tasbih. But he's not reading namaz. That putting the tasbih without reading namaz is not going to help him. Sometimes person say, no, you don't judge me. You know how much charitable works I do, and how much this I do, and that I do. But he's not reading namaz. So we mustn't judge anybody. But the basic thing is salah. Basic. Without salah, the ruh is going to die. The ruh will die. Without namaz, that ruh is going to become so weak. Right? So namaz is the most important. So if we're reading namaz, the ruh will survive. Then we have got Quran Sharif tilawat. Zikrullah. We got our nafal namazes. We got our charitable works, etc. All of this is like supplements and vitamins. That ruh is not just going to survive, but is going to thrive. That ruh is going to run to Allah Ta'ala. It's not just crawling along. It's going to run to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Right? And then, you know, to remain focused, we have to have a tartib in our life. We have to have some tartib in our life connected to our deen. Right? So for example, a person, he gets involved in the work of tabligh. Now in the morning, there is fikr in the masjid. After fajr, there is some fikr. Then certain night in the week is ingush. Certain night in the week is outgush. Right? Then sometime there will be some mashwara. Sometime there will be some shabguzari. Now if he fits into the system, his ta'lim in the masjid, ta'lim at home. Today it's a rare thing to find a person giving 2.5 hours daily to the masjid. Right? But if he's giving at least something to the masjid, he's giving. Right? Now this will keep him in track. This will keep him in track daily. As against a person who will go for 40 days, and after that, the whole year round, nothing. So he must do his 40 days, he must do his jillah, and then every day, whatever the tartib is set out, he must do it. The local work, all, he must do it. Now this will keep him on track. The same with a person who has got taluk with a sheikh or something. So one is he goes and spend time with his sheikh. Come Ramadan time, he says, I'm going for itikaf. For the last 10 years, I'm going 30 days itikaf. Fine, no problem. Alhamdulillah, very good. But every day, what zikr your sheikh gave you, what talim your sheikh told you to do, and then are you informing him? Are you making it for your takbir-e-ula? Are you in the masjid early? Are you spending that extra time in the masjid? Now, if a person is going to do this daily, he woke up in the morning, he made his zikrullah, he read his tahajjud, he made his dua. After fajr, he sat down, he read his Yasin Sharif, he read his morning duas, he made his tilawat. During the day, he's engaged in istighfar, his durud, he's watching his anger, he's watching his eyes, he's watching, he mustn't have jealousy. All the time he's on the pulse. Now he'll remain on track. He makes sure regularly he attends the majlis, or he listens to the majlis, he'll remain on track. Right? But if he's not going to do these things, and just come Ramadan time, no, I'm going for itikaf, or my sheikh is going for umrah, I'm going with him for umrah. Every year I go for umrah. But he's not following up daily. So what will happen, at that time when he goes, like a booster, you know? It's like a booster. You know, now they got IV lounges. I don't know if they started in Bethlehem. The doctors too, they got IV lounge there, you know. You go, you're feeling low, you just go in the surgery, they got a lounge, they put on drip for you. Everything is becoming imitation. Put on drip for you, and now you say, right, now I'm ready. So that drip, how long is going to last? It'll give you a couple hours relief. After that, you're back to square one. So when the person is there in front of the sheikh, then he's like Bayazid Bustami Rahmatullahi. After that, when the sheikh is gone and he's back home, then don't know which monster came here. Then Garo and everything is happening after that. The wife is taking cover one side, children are taking cover one side, staff are taking cover another side. One friend of mine, every time I see him, he talks very softly and very gentle and all that. The one day I heard him, he phoned. I was sitting with one fellow in the car, and he phoned that person. I don't know what problem they were having. the way he let that fellow have it. One, two heavy words, not in the dictionary and everything. You know, on the cell phone, you can hear everything, man. After that, I phoned him up. I said, "Bhai, you're the same person." I said, "Sometime when I ask you a question, I have to ask you three times. Your voice can't come out. And now you're talking like this." So this is what happens to us. You know? We live like a double kind of a life. So then that ruh is going to get very weak. This is why you find a person, you say, "No, I made intention of giving up this," I get caught up again. "I made intention of giving up this," I get caught up again. I'm getting caught up again because the ruh is going weak. The ruh is strong. I'm making my muraqabah emot every day. I'm making muhasabah. I'm thinking of Allah Ta'ala. I'm completing my azkar. I'm in the masjid. I'm doing my tarim, etc. Not to say you won't make no guna, but we stand a much better chance. And if we make a guna, it's like a person, the physical body whose immune system is strong. Not to say he won't get sick, but he'll bounce back quickly. Sometimes he can even break a bone too, but it will heal quickly. As against a body that is sick, immune system is low. Now that person get knocked out, he's knocked out. Sometimes the person got sugar, this thing. One cut he gets is not healing. One little cut he got is not healing. Right? Now when a person got the spiritual sickness, he went in the marketplace, one pretty face he saw by mistake. He's not healing. He's like a diabetic got a cut. He's not healing. He's doing namaz too, that face is coming. He's going home, that face is coming. He's frustrated now. He's frustrated with his wife because he saw another pretty face somewhere. Why? Because that ruh is not strong. The ruh is not strong. If the ruh was strong, even he got caught up by mistake. Now, he saw. Right? There's even an attraction. Alignment. Allah. Astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's not for me. My focus gaze on Allah Ta'ala. Right? Quickly the thing is healed up. He's moving forward. He's back on his road. So we have to keep that ruh healthy. And the ruh is going to stay healthy. Salah is number one. Number two, every day we have to make tilawat of Quran Sharif. We must have a set amount of tilawat that we're making. Number three, there has to be zikrullah in our lives. Kathrat-e zikr dawam-e taat. Whether a person is in whatever, zikrullah has to be there. If a person is in tabligh, he is given his zikr that he must make. Person has got a sheikh, his sheikh will prescribe for him dhikrullah that he must make. By even we don't have no sheikh, that don't mean we can't make zikr. To read 100 times istighfar, durud sharif, 300, third karima, you don't need no permissions for these things, you're taking your Allah's name. So zikrullah has to be there. Then there are masnoon surahs to read every day. Yasin sharif in the morning, surah waqia in the evening, Surah Mulk, Surah Sajda. These must become like part of our day. Morning du'as. There are so many du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left for us. Choose a few from there. Morning du'as, evening du'as. And ta'lim is very, very important. Ta'lim can never be overemphasized. We must have ta'lim in our homes. Have ta'lim in our homes. Have ta'lim. One is the ta'lim that takes place in the masjid. The other is ta'lim at home. Very, very important. And the last thing, there's many things, but the last thing we discussed today is make a concerted effort to bring alive the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. And the tartib we've given many a time, keep one kitab on sunnats. Go through the first page. Go through the first page. For example, say the first page is sunnats on awakening. So go through it. Whichever sunnats with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala I am making amal upon, tick it off. The one that I'm not making amal upon, put a cross, in pencil, and now start with that one. Say for this week, we are going to make amal on this sunnat. Make it a family effort. If you need to put it on the fridge, put it on the fridge. You need to put it on your screen. What? Saver, put it there on the screen saver. You need to put a reminder, put a reminder. Everybody must remind one another that this week now we are establishing the sunnah. Right? So for 1 week, you do it, it becomes part of our life. Now next week, or after 10 days, or 2 weeks, whatever, start another one. If a person, I used to say before, one a week. And then we want 3 weeks sick leave, and something else and all that. So, or a knock off all those other weeks, holiday and everything. At least 40 new sunnats will get in our life for the year. Alright, we can't do 40. We do one a month also. Every year, we'll get 12 new sunnats in our life. If Allah Ta'ala spares us another 10 years, 120 more sunnats came in my life. So make a concerted effort, bring the sunnah of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala accept all your qurbani. Allah Ta'ala reward us, although our efforts are full of weaknesses. But Allah Ta'ala accept it according to His shan. The hosts, all those that made effort, Allah Ta'ala accept, grant them jazai khair, give barakat in their rizq. The ulama here, asatiza, whatever, whoever is serving deen, Allah Ta'ala accept those that have traveled, have come from different places. Allah Ta'ala reward you, whatever wealth you spent, Allah Ta'ala give you much more in return. Allah Ta'ala give barakat in your businesses, in your rizq, in your home. And most important, Allah Ta'ala accept it. And Allah Ta'ala bless us, you know, with deep-hearted iman. Allah take us with iman. Allah resurrect us with iman. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, he was what a senior personality. And he had a very close relationship with Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So they used to meet. If Hazrat Mufti Sahib is passing Jalalabad, he'll pop in and meet Hazrat Ji. If Hazrat Ji was passing this side, Dioban, or wherever Mufti Sahib was at the time, he'll go and meet him. But he's mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Magda Sahib was mentioning, that whenever Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali met Mufti Sahib, even if their meeting was for 5 minutes, and they were now parting, Hazrat Ji would tell Hazrat Mufti Sahib, and make dua that Allah Ta'ala takes me away with iman. A person is such a senior person, but he is concerned I must pass away with iman. And we are taking it like for granted. With all my gunas and everything, no, it's in the bag for me. I don't know, so many things are coming in my mind, but I'm telling you, last now what I must do now. That one more of that verses from the Torah that Ali radiallahu anhu had extracted, Allah Ta'ala mentions it that, O insan, only stop fearing me after you cross the pul sirat. Then only you know you are safe, you are home, after you cross pul sirat. Until then you still fear me. Because even if you pass away with iman, that's no guarantee we're not going to go Jahannam. Yeah, it's a guarantee we won't go Jahannam for eternity. If you passed away with iman, it's a guarantee that we won't go Jahannam for eternity. But it's not a guarantee that we won't go Jahannam at all. It's not a guarantee that there won't be any azab in the qabr at all. So Allah Ta'ala says, O insan, you only stop fearing me after you cross the pul sirat. Once you made it over, now you don't have to have any fear whatsoever, ever again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mustawfi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. I think time for Ishraq is in. We can read our Ishraq. Thereafter, I think, there is Nasta also. We prepare breakfast also. So we can read our Ishraq and then partake of breakfast. And thereafter, Chutti, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.